Okay, we are continuing from where we left off. We are on the Surah Maryam, and we had completed until verse 38 in our last class. So far, two major incidents of Surah Maryam have been discussed. One is with respect to the birth of Yahya alayhi salam, the son of Zakaria. That was the first incident mentioned in Surah Maryam. And the other incident that has been mentioned in Surah Maryam was that of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. It's mentioned about Jesus, his birth. And the Quran went into details in that Surah Maryam, speaking about the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. At the end of that second incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us, then in our class, last class, we discussed this. Allah says, then the sex differed. So woe unto the disbelievers, those who give false witness by saying that Isa, Jesus, is the son of Allah. Woe unto them from the meeting of a great day, which has been mentioned in verse 37. So, having highlighted the truth about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and also the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, showing that he was no one more than a messenger of Allah. His mother was a pure and chaste woman. After that has been cleared, and that is already evident to everyone, for anyone to go against those teachings and say that which is not the truth, and make allegations against Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam or her son Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus, on one hand, to make false allegations against them. So as for those who did not believe and accept Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, which we mentioned last day, they went on one extreme and they disbelieved in them, and they called Maryam an unchaste woman. And the other extreme was that those who went and attributed divinity to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and his mother. So some went on one extreme state of rejecting Isa, rejecting Jesus alayhi salatu wasalam, and on the other hand, some went on the other extreme of saying that he also shares divinity with Allah. So Allah is saying, woe unto those sects who differed from the teachings of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Then, concluding that section, Allah says in verse 38 of Surah Maryam, how clearly will they see and hear the day when they will appear before us. It means on the day of judgment, they will see clearly now as to what is the truth. Who is Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who is Jesus, and who is the mother, and what is the truth regarding them. But then it will be too late for them. This is why Allah says, but the zalimun and the polytheists and the wrongdoers, today, that is on the day of judgment, they are in plain error. It continues where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 39, and warn them, O Muhammad, of the day of grief and regrets, when the case has been decided, while now they are in a state of carelessness and they believe not. So the Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is asked to warn them of a terrible day, which is known as the what? Day of regret and the day of grief. On that day, all the decisions will be made, and decisions will also be finalized. Some will be fortunate. Those who had the correct beliefs, those who had the true beliefs regarding Allah, regarding all his prophets, those who had the correct beliefs, then they will be able to enter Jannah, they will be able to enter paradise. But those people who entertained the wrong beliefs, they did not believe in the correct thing about Allah, about his messengers, about his apostles, they concocted and they brought about and they invented lies and fabrications upon the innocent apostles and messengers of Allah. Allah says, warned such people of the day of grief and regret, when on that day the case will be decided. Today they live in a state of carelessness. Today in this world people are blinded by many things, and they continue to live in a state of carelessness. And because of the fact that probably they cannot see very far, some have doubts regarding the day of reckoning and the day of judgment. Allah says, so people live in carelessness. But as soon as they die, then they will see the reality. So they live in carelessness and they believe not. Further to this ayah in verse 40, Allah says, verily we will inherit the earth and whatsoever is thereon, and to us they all shall be returned. Two important things are mentioned in this ayah. Every single day we see someone passing away. Every single day someone goes. He dies, as we call it in our language. But where does that person go? Nations have come in the past, and those nations have gone also. And today we only hear about names. Once upon a time, the people of Pharaoh existed. And the people at the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam existed, like the Namrud at the time, the Nimrod. And so many nations came in the past. The question is, where are all these people? Where are those people who lived, let's say, 100 years ago? Where are those people who lived 50 years, or our parents, or our grandparents? Where have these people gone? Allah says, unto us they all shall be returned. Every single person is taking a journey, going back to where he came from. And where did people come from? From Allah. This is why we say, inna lillahi wa inna ilahi raji'un, acknowledging the fact that our beginning and our origin came from there, Allah. And when we die, we are not going to stay here. Probably we might be buried in the earth here, but we are returned back to Allah. So that's one thing. Wherever people might be living, once they die, they go back to their creator. Once they die, they go back to their creator. That's one thing. And the other thing that is mentioned and clear in this verse is that when everyone passes away, obviously he dies and there is wealth with him. He has a business, he has money, he has assets, he has so many things. He has been the king of a certain territory. Okay, if we say, well, his children inherited. Well, yes, the children would have inherited, but then they will also die. And where will that wealth go? Okay, well, their children may inherit it, but they will also die. And whosoever inherits from their parents or their grandparents or from anyone else, that thing remains here. And people die out. And people continue to die and die and die, and it remains here. Allah says, where does that go? We shall be the inheritors of that. That also came from us, and it's going to return back to us. So at the end of it all, in a nutshell, every single man will die and leave the world. The wealth will remain here. The gold will remain here. The silver will remain here. The palaces will remain. The kingdoms of the mighty kings will remain. Who will be the owner when there is no man? Allah. Allah will become the owner. So this is that point, which is two very, very important points in this surah. Surah Maryam, this verse 40. Verily we will inherit the earth and whatsoever is thereon. Every single one will die. Every single one will leave. Where will all these things go? Back to Allah. And then the other point, every single person who leaves the world, and who would leave the world, every single person is going back to Allah. So with that, it brings a conclusion to the topic of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, about Jesus, the miraculous birth, his pure and chaste mother, Maryam alayhi salam, you know, after whose personality the name of the surah has been given, Surah Maryam. Now, after that, another topic is mentioned. Having mentioned the incident of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam and Isa, her son Jesus, along with the differences the followers of Isa had regarding him, the Quran goes further to highlight another great prophet who is known as the Khalilullah, the friend of Allah, who was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Very, very important topic. Ibrahim alayhi salam was a very great prophet, and his position among all the Anbiya's is such that he is given the title of Imamul Anbiya, the leader of all the prophets, in the sense that all the prophets coming in the latter times all came from him. It goes straight back to the time Ibrahim alayhi salam had two sons, Ismail alayhi salam, his firstborn, which remained in the land of Hijaz, one, and from whom the entire nation of the Arabs came. And on the other hand, with his wife Sarah, he had Ishaq or Isaac alayhi salatu wasalam. And from him there came Jacob, Yaqub. And from Yaqub alayhi salam there were the 12 sons. And from the 12 sons came the 12 tribes of the Israel, the Bani Israel. So on one hand, Ishaq happened to be a father of a nation, and on the other hand, Ismail became the father of a nation. All the prophets coming from Ishaq came from Ibrahim alayhi salam. The prophets coming from Ismail alayhi salam coming from also Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim is the father of the Anbiya's. He has a very, very great position in the three major religions which have been preached, and the teachings are connected to the unity of Allah. The teachings are connected to heavenly scriptures which were revealed. The teachings are somewhat common in the belief of prophets, in the belief of angels, in the belief of what? Life after death, in the belief of the resurrection, in the belief of paradise, in hell, in the belief of what? You know, all these things, that the book of deeds will be given and all these things. Ibrahim alayhi salam has an exalted position. In Judaism, Yahudiyat, Ibrahim alayhi salam is a father figure. Very great position. In Nasraniyat or Christianity, Ibrahim alayhi salam also has a very lofty position. And he has a great position and status in Islam. The Quran highlights that in many different surahs and chapters. Just like the name of Isa alayhi salam, there are hundreds of verses which speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. It speaks about his childhood, it speaks about his maturity, it speaks about when he was driven out from his land, it speaks about his mission, his conversation with his father, etc. So that is another topic of discussion coming from verse 41. Mention is made of him in verses 41 to 50, 9 verses here of this surah Maryam, where he exhorted his father to leave off idol worship and turn to the path of belief in one God, Tawheed. This is why the Quran calls him as Hanif. Hanif, a person who was firm on the path of Tawheed, on the path of belief in one God and nothing else. In these verses, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asked to rehearse unto the people the life of a true prophet whom they, the Arabs, have considered to be their grand ancestor. There is a special wisdom, just like that of Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and Yahya, John the Baptist. Mention has been made regarding both of them. There is a wisdom in it. Remember, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to the people, and the people to whom he came, they followed different things. As for the Arabs, who were not the Jews and the Christians, they felt very proud to belong to the progeny and the children of Abraham. They used to say with pride in their hearts, "We are the children of Abraham." They held on to that. The teachings of Abraham, they held on to firm. They used to circumambulate and make tawaf of the Kaaba. The Jews also, they believed in many prophets of the past. Musa alayhi salam, Harun alayhi salam, They had the Torah with them. The Christians, on the other hand, believed in Isa alayhi salam, and they held on to the teachings. Islam preaches that this religion is not a new religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Quran confirms the scriptures that came before it. So this is why Allah made it clear in the Quran that Muslims are not such people who only hold on to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and forget about everybody else. This is why the Quran revealed verses upon verses speaking about the great status of who? Jesus, Isa alayhi salam. And it spoke about Maryam alayhi salam. And it spoke about Dhulkifl, Prophet Ezekiel alayhi salam. And it spoke about Prophet Joseph, Yusuf alayhi salam, that we spoke about. It spoke about Jonah and Yunus alayhi salam. In good words, all these things are given so that it may be clear to people that Islam, the teachings of Islam, is about the prophets also and the truth of the prophets. So the Jews had to know that, listen, these Muslims, those people who are accepting Islam, they are not our enemies. They believe in the thing that we believe in also. Their book tells them to believe in the Torah, which is our book, and their book tells them to believe in Moses, and we believe in Moses. So the verses were revealed. And the verses were revealed also to the Christians, they are living at that time, for them to understand that these people who are called Muslims and these people who are following this religion called Islam, they are not our enemies. They believe in the same person we believe in, who was Isa alayhi salam, and they speak highly about him and his mother, and the Quran speaks so much about it, and they speak so much about our prophets, Zachariah and Yahya, John the Baptist, all those other prophets. So it makes it clear to them that Islam is a religion that upholds the truth. The truth of everyone that came in the past, and the truth of everything that came in the past. As for the Arabs, who were not Jews or were not Christians, and they were pagans, and they were people who used to worship idols. They will worship names. While they were doing that, and they did not adhere to any religion which preached about, you know, oneness of Allah, they said, we are the children of Abraham. He is our great forefather. We are his children. So we are better. They used to say we are better than everybody because we are the children of Abraham. So Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they feel so proud about being the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, let them know what type of person Ibrahim alayhi salam was. And let them know what Ibrahim believed in. And let them also know that what they are doing is totally different from what Abraham used to do. And that was the wisdom in the mentioning of this incident. And mentioned. So in these verses, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is asked, that is the verses from 41 to 50 of Surah Maryam, he is asked to rehearse unto the people the life of this prophet, who is Siddiqa, the truthful prophet, Ibrahim alayhi salam, whom the Arabs have considered to be their grand ancestor. Through this citation, the Arabs in general, besides the Quraysh, which was one tribe, they were immediately reminded that the one they are proud to be associated with, who was Abraham, was a person who believed in one God and never worshipped idols, which they are worshipping. So, in other words, it was a message to them. Here is it, you are saying you are the children of Abraham, but did Abraham do what you are doing? How can you become his children if you are not following what he taught you to do? As such, they should do the same if they are truly from his progeny. The Quran says in verse 41, and mention in the book, that is in this holy Quran, O Prophet, mention to them the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Indeed, he was a man of truth and a prophet. He was Siddiq. He was a truthful person. And he was Nabiya. He was also a prophet. While highlighting the mission of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Quran in these verses of Surah Maryam has mentioned the conversation that went on between Ibrahim and his father. Mention is made of how Ibrahim alayhi salam invited his father towards the way of truth with gentleness and politeness. He explained to his father that the idols which he worshipped did not have the capability to hear what its worshippers invoked them for, nor could they see. How then could they avail anybody's needs or provide them with provision or help? So he was explaining to his father. Verse 42, when he said to his father, O mine father, why do you worship that which hears not, sees not, and cannot avail you in anything? He says, Ya Abati, O my beloved father. He was very polite and gentle. He was very soft. Although his father followed something else from him, the Quran teaches a beautiful lesson. It does not mean that you be harsh and you be insultive and you behave in a manner that is not becoming a son. You should never do that. Whatever it is, if the parents happen to be of a different religion, it does not give you the authority to be their parents or to feel that you are bigger than them. No, respect must always be shown. So in a very nice manner, he says, my father, these things that you are carving and you are selling to people, these things cannot hear. So when people are speaking to them, when they cannot hear, how can they help you? Nor can they see. They have no sight. Then these things you are making for the people, they cannot see. How can they help people? He says that. He continues and he says, informs his father that Allah has bestowed upon him true guidance and knowledge, ilm and hidayat. True knowledge and also what? Guidance, which he, the father, did not possess. And he tells his father that if he follows him, then he shall also be guided. Ibrahim alayhi salam, while explaining and exhorting his father to come to the path of that which is the truth, he tried to explain to his father that worshiping idols was in reality worshiping Satan, who was an enemy and a rebel against Allah. Who? Satan. That is the rebel, the devil. Hence, if he continues as his companion doing what Satan wants him to do, then he will consequently suffer a serious penalty. So, he says, as it is mentioned in verse 43, O my father, verily there has come to me of knowledge that which came not unto you. The knowledge that I have been given, you do not possess that knowledge. Allah has blessed me with that knowledge, and with that knowledge you can follow the path that is right and that is the truth. So follow me, I will guide you to the straight path. He says, O mine father, worship not Satan. Let not Satan be the object of your worship. No. Verily, Satan has been a rebel against the most beneficent. O mine father, verily, I fear lest a torment from the most beneficent overtakes you, so that you become a companion of Satan. So he continues exhorting his father, do not do this, do not do this. And then he says, O mine father, I fear that if you keep upon this path, then you may have to suffer a serious penalty. You will have to be punished. So do not do that. When Ibrahim alayhi salam, in these passages and these verses, this advice, good counsel to the father, when he offered his father this divine guidance and the sincere advice, what did the father do? The father rejected them. The father rejected them and he threatened to stone Ibrahim alayhi salam. He threatened to stone Ibrahim alayhi salam if he did not desist or did not cease and stop what he was doing. What was Ibrahim doing? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham was telling his father, oh my father, this cannot help you. So do not do this. This cannot bring any good to you. So do not do this. And this is the manner he continued. So what did the father say? In the words of the Holy Quran, the father said, do not reject my gods. All these different names and these different things that I carve, and I put them and I worship them. Do not curse them and do not reject them, O Ibrahim. If you stop not this, if you do not stop what you are saying, and if you do not stop what you are doing, I will indeed stone you. I will stone you. So get away from me safely before I punish you. If you continue to do this, I will stone you. So you know what's good for yourself? before. Right now you are safe. So just as you are safe, go in this manner before something happens to you. So in other words, his father had thrown him out of the house. His father had kicked him out of the house because he could not tolerate what his son was telling him. No, his son was not harsh. His son was not insultive to him. His son was telling him, "My father, I see you every day. You are taking your hands, you are taking a piece of wood or stick, and you are making something out of it, and then you bow before this thing, but this thing, you created it. So if anyone has to worship and bow before anyone, this thing is supposed to bow before you, because he owes his existence upon you. You brought him into existence. He did not bring you into existence. But I see it's the other way around. That you're bowing and you're worshiping this thing cannot help you. Why not believe in the one true God, the unseen God? Believe he is there. Accept him. This is the right path." Ibrahim alayhi salam never lifted his voice above the voice of the father. And he did not criticize, as we say, criticize. He just said to the father, what he saw was necessary. The father behaved in this manner because the father is the father. Ibrahim alayhi salam could not behave in the manner the father behaved because he's the son. So he has to behave like a son. Respect in its place. Humility in its place. Lowering the voice, that should be in its place. All these are those things which are necessary for children to adopt in front of their parents. With this response from the father, Ibrahim alayhi salam, now the father speaks to him in this harsh manner. Is Ibrahim going to react in a likable manner? Is Ibrahim alayhi salam going to speak back in this manner? And as we say, fight fire with fire? No. Ibrahim alayhi salam did not react in a harsh manner, nor did he insult his father. Instead, he was very calm and peacefully spoke in words which did not cause harm or injury to the father, nor did he disrespect the father in any manner. He did not do anything like that. Look at the beautiful words Ibrahim alayhi salam said to his father. He said, "Qala salamun alayk. Peace be unto you, my father. Peace be unto you. May you live with peace. May peace be with you. I am not your enemy. I'm your loving son. I wish good for you." Very important lesson, isn't that so? Even though a person may adopt a different path, it doesn't mean that you become his enemy. No, if he has adopted this path, then I want good for myself, I want good for you also. This is why I was telling you what is good. But if this is the path you have adopted, salamun alaykum, peace be unto you. Peace be with you. You live with peace. Live in a good manner. Then he goes further to say, in my heart I know what you are doing, it's wrong. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying. So he's going to depart from his father, but he does not want to depart with hatred and enmity between their hearts. So he tells his father, salamun alayk, peace be unto you, father, peace be with you, live with peace. I know you are wrong. Because I know that you are wrong, what am I going to do? I will ask forgiveness of my Lord for you. I will do that. I will ask Allah to forgive you. Probably you do not know it now, but sometime you will come to know of it. I will continuously seek forgiveness for you. Verily, he says, verily, he is unto me ever most gracious. Yani, I will ask Allah to forgive you. Allah is most gracious. He is full of grace. And because he's full of grace, he is most forgiving and he's loving and he's kind. So I do hope that if I ask him to forgive you, then that will not be difficult for him to do, because he's loving, he's kind, he's compassionate and he's merciful. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying. Subhanallah, beautiful lesson. Normally when there is a dispute or differences of opinion, what is the outcome? enmity, hatred, bad blood, ill feelings, you know, obscene language, cursing, swearing, people go their way. And after a few years, when they come to their senses, they will realize it's a petty issue. They got away with each other, and then they want to come and embrace each other if they are fortunate enough and forgive each other. Simple, beautiful lesson here. Okay, this is your way. Well, I wish peace for you. I wish goodness for you just as I wish goodness for myself. So, but I will pray to Allah that He may forgive you. Allah is most gracious, Allah is most kind. So inshallah, if He wills, He will do it. Then he goes further to say, and I shall turn away from you. So you are telling me to get out. I will not become an obstacle and a burden upon you that you are telling me to come out, but I'll still remain in your house. No, I wouldn't do that. He says, and I shall turn away from you and from those whom you invoke besides Allah. So I will go away from you, and all those other things you call on, I will go away from them also. So I will not trouble you, I will not trouble them. So you will not get any type of words and statements from me regarding what you do. And I shall call on mine Lord. I will turn away from you, I will turn away from them, but I shall not be on my own. I shall call on mine Lord, whom I believe is mine Lord and mine God. And I hope that I shall not be unblessed in mine own invocation to my Lord. Mine hope is this, that whenever I supplicate and pray, I hope that I shall never be unblessed. Meaning, I hope that my prayers and supplications will always be accepted, and they will be given to me, whatever I ask for. In this manner, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as we see from these verses, the conversation that transpired between both of them. In this manner, Ibrahim alayhi salam left his father's home and continued to pray for him as he promised. Now, at this time, Ibrahim alayhi salam left the father's home, but it did not mean that he left the city. According to many mu'arrikhin and Islamic historians, Ibrahim alayhi salam was born in the city of Babylonia those times. He grew up at that time, and it was around, you know, that city that he lived, and it was around, or in that city, his initial mission and propagation took place. So yes, he came out of the father's home, but he did not leave the city. So what he did is, when his father spoke to him in this manner, he went in another place in the same city, but there he generalized his mission now, and he made it general to everyone, and he started to propagate it openly and publicly. And there is where he came in confrontation with the king Namrud, after he started to preach the religion which Allah had asked him to do. Okay? He was married already. He was married already. That we know, he was married already to Sarah, his wife. Can't say exactly how old he was. The historical facts doesn't identify that, but he was still in the city there. So he left his father's home, and what he started to do, he continued to pray for the father, hoping that the father may come on the right path. However, so he continued in this manner, doing what? Supplicating and praying. However, when it became clear to him that he was an enemy of Allah, the father, that the father did not have any good in his heart, and the father became not only the enemy of the son, that is Ibrahim, but he became the enemy of Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the creator, then Ibrahim alayhi salam had to decide. So what he did, he disassociated himself from the father, and he discontinued seeking forgiveness for the father. That is what he did at that time. And this is what is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 114. Allah says, and Ibrahim's act of seeking forgiveness for his father was only because of a promise he had made to him. Allah is saying this. In other words, why did Ibrahim alayhi salam continue to pray for the father and seek forgiveness? Because he made a promise to him. and there was no knowledge about whether he should or should not. So he acted on goodwill, continued to pray for the father. But then the father was not of those who wanted to listen. Became an open enemy of the religion of Abraham, the God of Abraham, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything his son Ibrahim alayhi salam did. So Allah is saying that the reason that Ibrahim alayhi salam continued to pray for his father was on account of the promise which he made to the father. He made a promise, he kept the promise. But the Quran goes further to say, when it became clear to Ibrahim that the father was an enemy to Allah, he, Ibrahim alayhi salam, then disassociated himself from him. Surely Ibrahim was most tender-hearted forbearing. In other words, he was very soft at heart. So he was always willing to do everything for the benefit, for the pleasure of the father, to make the father happy, to see that the father was good, to see that the father followed the straight path. He was tender-hearted. Whatever happened, he always humbled himself and treated his father with kindness. And he was forbearing in that while he behaved in this manner, the father always treated him with that hatred and that malice and that enmity. And he always spoke in a harsh manner to Ibrahim. Ibrahim listened and he continued to humble himself. So in this manner, he was forbearing. Forbear all these things that came to him. Verses 50, 49 and 50 informs us that eventually when Ibrahim alayhi salam, left his native land and migrated to a life of loneliness in a strange place, Allah blessed him with family members who were far better than the ones he had left in his hometown. So eventually, when it did happen that, you know, the king started to find out about this person who is saying that you should not worship the king and you should not do this and do that. And he says to worship one God and one creator, worship Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He started to find out about this person and he summoned him and he called him. And conversation took place, you know, when he said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, well, if you believe in a Lord, you tell me, what does your Lord do? Ibrahim alayhi salam says, well, my Lord causes the sun to rise in the east and causes it to set in the west. That is what my Lord do. If you are a God, then you cause it to rise in the west and set in the east. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ, the Quran says, he was dumbfounded, he couldn't do that. How can he cause the sun to rise from the west and set in the east? He could not do that. So he became angry with Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that was the time he made that big fire, and the flames of the fire were so high that the birds flying at a high distance, you know, above it, they were roasted and they were falling into the fire. And that was the fire that they could not come even close to. They used a sling, the sling they had in those days, and they threw Ibrahim through the sling onto the fire, and Ibrahim alayhi salam remained there for quite a while. After those incidents, Ibrahim alayhi salam eventually left his native land. He left. He was all alone in the sense that uncles and aunts and, you know, among the family members, the people he grew up with, the people he associated with, everyone he left. He was just going to a new land. When you go to a new land, you have no associates, you have no friends, you have no one that you can call your family. So he was going alone. He and his wife Sarah. And at that time, Allah says, when they migrated and they went to a new land, he blessed them with his mercy. And he gave to Abraham Ishaq and Yaqub. Not that Ishaq and Yaqub were two brothers. No. He gave Ishaq to Abraham. And from Ishaq, that is Isaac, there came Yaqub alayhi salam, Jacob. And then from Jacob, you have the 12 tribes of Israel. And from them, prophets came one after the other. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with family members who were far better than the ones he had left in his hometown. So he was going with his wife alone, as I said, in a state of loneliness, a strange land. How is it? How will it be? As a mercy from Allah, Allah gave him companionship, meaning people who will be his companions, people who will be his family members in this new land. So it really did not happen that he missed those whom he left in his native land. In this state, he was granted Ishaq alayhi salam. And from Ishaq, who is Isaac, Yaqub alayhi salam was born, that is Jacob. Through this lineage came the entire line of prophets of the Israelites. All the Israelite prophets. All of them came through this blessed lineage. This was indeed a great mercy from Allah, which came to Ibrahim alayhi salam and his progeny. They were not only blessed with prophethood, but along with this, they were granted wealth, provision, wisdom, and leadership. So Allah says, and we bless them with our mercy. The blessings. One, nubuwwat, prophethood. That's a great blessing from Allah. To make someone and to choose someone as a prophet, as a messenger, as an apostle. That is a very great mercy. But besides that, their livelihood, they became rich and wealthy. And besides that, the provisions, sustenance from the earth. Allah blessed the land they lived in, Syria, the promised land, fertile soil, every type of fruit and every type of crop grew over there. Blessed the land with provision on account of them. And besides that, Allah blessed them with authority in the land and leadership. And they became governors and they became kings and they became rulers of the land. A great amount of blessings Allah blessed them with. As a sign of continuous mercy, this is an addition now. As a sign of continuous mercy to them, Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family, such a great prophet, Allah placed their honor and love in the hearts of men so that they shall always be remembered with good words. And this is a very great mercy, that whenever people take the name of Ibrahim, we the Muslims say, alayhi salatu wasalam, may the peace and the blessings of Allah be upon him. Whenever we take the name of Ishaq, we say, alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, or alayhi salam. Isa, Yahya, all those who came from the progeny of Ishaq. Okay? Even if people do not say these words, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon them, at least whenever these prophets are remembered, they are remembered with good words. Good statements are used about them. Never ever are they humiliated or embarrassed. Never ever they are taunted with words used by the people. People do not speak ill of them. People do not backbite and slander these prophets. But whenever people speak about Abraham, and all the prophets speak about them in good words, so Allah says, that is a mercy. That I cause their love to be in the hearts of people. That whenever people speak about them, they speak in good terms. And that also, besides them, it is a great favor from Allah. For Allah to cast the love of someone in the hearts of other people, that whenever they remember them with good words. People begin to love them. People begin to respect them. That comes from Allah. Allah is the one who places it in the heart of a person that people do not speak ill of others. So, this was a sign of continuous mercy to them. After giving a brief explanation of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his mission, the Quran continues in Surah Maryam to highlight the life of another great prophet of Allah known as Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, Israelite prophet. In verse 51, the Prophet Muhammad, upon whom be peace, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is asked to recite unto the people the mission of Musa alayhi salam, who was chosen by Allah to be a great messenger and prophet. So, one, it's about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now it is about Musa alayhi salam. People who lived at his time, obviously they want to know about Musa. And they had to know also that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a prophet like Musa was a prophet. So Allah says, and mention in the book Moses. mentioned in the Quran the life of Musa alayhi salam, the mission of Moses, the da'wah, the invitation of Musa alayhi salam. He was chosen and he was a messenger and a prophet. Allah says he also was chosen by Allah as a prophet. And he was also a prophet. And above being a Nabi, he was also a what? Rasul, a messenger. In verse 52, an indication is made to the time when Musa alayhi salam received the prophethood and was commanded to invite towards the straight path. In this verse, it is mentioned that he was called from the right side of a mount and he was drawn closer so that he may speak to Allah. So one very important thing we need to recognize in the mentioning of John the Baptist, Yahya alayhi salam, in the mentioning of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, in the mention of Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam, and in the mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam, in these different verses, Allah did not go into full details to give us an account of their entire life. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated to certain things. And because the surah speaks about Allah's great ability over human beings to create, to recreate, to bring something from non-existence into existence, all the different verses that are highlighted about that prophet speaks to that thing, Tawheed, the wahdaniyat of Allah. Who is Allah? Who is the creator? So this is whom of visited the face of the earth. So Allah says, and we called him from the right side of the mount, Mount Tur, and made him draw near to us for a talk with him. With who? Moses. Regarding this, it is stated that when Musa alayhi salam had fulfilled the term of 10 years in the city of Madian, now the Quran speaks about him when he ran away and he fled Egypt. He went and he traveled for a long time until he came to a nearby city, a city in fact which was known as Madian. The prophet at that time was Shu'aib alayhi salam. He eventually stayed there, got married to one of the daughters of Shu'aib alayhi salam, and the mahar and the dowry was that he should work 10 years for Shu'aib alayhi salam. So he fulfilled the 10 years. And now that he had fulfilled the 10 years, Shu'aib alayhi salam, his father-in-law, said to him that if you wish, you can stay longer, but you will be paid your wages now. Or if you wish, you can go. Because Musa alayhi salam was born in Egypt. Okay? And he wanted to go back to Egypt. His family members were in Egypt. So, after he had fulfilled the term of 10 years in Madian, he left with his family heading back to Egypt. It was time that he wanted to go to Egypt. It is said that during the course of the journey, he lost his way while traveling on a dark, cold night. So it was the night he continued to travel and he lost his journey. While he was wandering about, because obviously he will be looking to see what is the right course to take. While moving about, he spotted a fire at a distance in the direction of Mount Tur. Hoping that he may be able to get some information regarding the direction, because he lost his way, so he needs to find out from someone as to which is the right direction. And at the same time, it is very cold and it is dark, so he can get some fire sticks from the fire that can bring about some warmth and can also cause them to see, you know, the surrounding. So this is what he told his wife. He said to her, Safura, her name was, he said that, I see a fire. Let me go that I may either bring some information or that I may bring some sticks. So he went there. He went in the direction until he came close to the fire. There he found it burning in a green thorny tree. The tree was green, but it was on fire. Okay? It was getting so bright and the tree was so green that Musa alayhi salam stood calm and he stood in utter amazement and astonishment. To know that this is fire, but the tree is still green. It's not burning at all. What type of fire is this? Or what type of tree is this? In this position, at that time, he was in a valley called Tur. Wadi al-Muqaddasi, Tuwa, the sacred valley of Tuwa, which was close by to the mountain. And when he was in the valley of Tuwa, he was standing facing the Qibla, which is in Makkah. In this position, the tree was on his right side from the western direction. So when the tree was on his right side and Allah called out to him, the voice was coming from this tree. So this is why the ayat says, and we called him from the right side of the mount. This is how that happened, from the right side. While in the valley, his Lord called out to him, saying that he should take his shoes off, since he was standing in a holy and sacred valley and must show respect to the place. Allah says, this is a sacred valley. Faqla ana alayk, take off your shoes. This is why in sacred and holy places, we have to take out our shoes. After this, Allah spoke to him saying, O Musa, I am Allah. The voice, the revelation came to him. Inni ana Allah, la ilaha illa ana. O Musa, I am Allah. I am your creator. There is no God but I. Therefore, worship me and establish salah for my remembrance. The first two things that were revealed to Musa alayhi salam. Belief in Allah, to accept that He is one. Perform your salah. Salah is done for remembrance of Allah. In verse 53, mention is made of the prophethood of Harun alayhi salam. It continues now. So Allah mentions about his nubuwwat, how it happened, and what he was ordered to do. Harun alayhi salam, his name comes up also. And his prophethood is mentioned as being a special mercy from Allah. In reality, in other words, how did Harun become a prophet? The brother who is known as Aaron or Aaron, how did he become a prophet? It was an answer to the dua or the supplication of Musa alayhi salam. When Allah made him a prophet, he said to Allah, O Allah, give me a helper and a supporter, my brother. Make him a wazir, make him a vice. And Allah did make Harun alayhi salam a prophet to be the helper and supporter of Musa alayhi salam. Verse 53, as it states, and we bestowed on him his brother Harun, Aaron, also a prophet, out of mercy, out of our mercy. So it is a mercy from Allah that Allah makes someone a Nabi. While highlighting the mission of different prophets in the surah, mention is also made of the grand ancestor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was Ismail alayhi salam, who was also a great prophet of Allah. Verse 54 states, and mention in the book, make mention to them, O Muhammad, about Ismail, the son of Abraham. Verily, he was true to what he promised. Whatever he promised, he fulfilled that. He was true to that. And he was a messenger and a prophet. In this verse, mention is made of Ismail alayhi salam being true to what he promised. This in reality is a special quality which was most outstanding in Prophet Ismail alayhi salam. Although all the other prophets were also true in their promises, Ismail alayhi salam is specifically identified with this attribute. All the other prophets, every prophet had to be true to their promise, isn't that so? Whenever a prophet makes a promise, he has to keep the promise. So what is so special about saying Sadiq al-Wa'di, that he, Ismail, was true in his promise? What is so special when all the other prophets had to do it? It is because of the fact that Allah, by saying this, is giving him this great honor of being known for having fulfilled the promise. Why? When the command came to Abraham alayhi salam to sacrifice him, Ismail, Ismail alayhi salam did two things. He submitted himself for the sacrifice. And when he told his father that he was going to give his life for the sake of Allah, he really did it. That was not an easy thing to do. To say it now, and then to be placed on the stone with a knife coming towards your throat, they are two different things. So when he promised his father that he will offer himself as a sacrifice, first he submitted. But then that forbearance he had, and that sabr and patience he had, that he indeed fulfilled the promise he made Allah called him Sadiq al-Wa'di, the one who fulfilled his promise. So inshallah, we'll continue next week. We'll stop the activity.